Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, March 2nd, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the link that says Start Here in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that specific chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on the link, download it. Print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one where people have been stepped through that worksheet process, and if you listen to those repeatedly, they can serve as a tutorial to help you get the most out of applying this tool in your life. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you do that, you'll get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do that soon and often because it frequently leads to comments or questions or testimonials or answers that people might have. And if you have any of those to share with us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. And when you call that number and press 1, it'll put a little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code and turn on your microphone, and we can have a discussion. We greatly appreciate it whenever people do that because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work. The intention with this work is to be of service. And we're hopeful that what we're doing in donating our time to this endeavor, paying to create and maintain Michael and Jeannie's website, and paying to maintain and create this Blog Talk Radio show, we're hopeful that that is beneficial to people. We're doing it because it benefits us, and we're hopeful that it's also benefiting others. So if there's a way that we can be of service to you, please let us know. And again, that call-in number is 563-999-3581. And or you can send us an email. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. You can email Jeannie Rice at jeanie at whyagain.org. And that's an especially good option if you're listening to this through the archives and you're not able to listen live. As we get those requests, we will address them, or comments or questions or suggestions or testimonials, and we'll address them in the in a future show, and then you can listen to the archive to get access to the discussion. This year, beginning January 10th, we decided to start working through the Way of Mastery. And the Way of Mastery is one of those highly unusual books. It's probably the one book I've read more often than any other book in my life. It's a book that, for me, has become a set of tools. And tools that I apply in my life on a regular basis in conjunction with the Reality Management Worksheet and the other tools that Michael and Jeannie offer. It's what some might call a rather advanced spiritual teaching. And has us understand that we are the ones who are creating our experience of life in each new present moment, and that we have the infinite capacity to do that based on how we choose to focus our awareness in each moment. And then it helps us understand that every time we've had a negative impression, a negative emotional state, or a negative belief about someone in our lives, and they call them our brothers and sisters, fellow travelers, fellow sparks of the one mind, every time we create a perception that leaves us feeling a negative belief, conclusion, or emotion about one of our brothers and sisters, that's an indication that we are in error in our thought process. That's an indication that we've created a false perception, something that will literally block us from seeing our true nature and the true nature of the people we're looking at. And that one of the greatest gifts we could ever have will only come to us as we take 100% responsibility for the creation of every negative perception and the negative emotional states that result from pouring our mind energy into those negative perceptions, and ask to be shown how to see the world and the people in it the same way their creator would see them. And that's the way to get the greatest gift we could ever have. And there are a couple axioms that are laid out in terms of how we are creating our own experience and in terms of how we don't need to do anything, that everything that we're doing, whether we realize it or not, is by choice. Everything we're experiencing, whether we realize it or not, is by choice. And the more we practice that awareness of that dynamic, the more empowered we get to create consciously, actively, with ease. And that's that very quick overview of the first three lessons. And we're in the process of reading through the fourth lesson for the second time. And I'll remind people, especially if you might happen to be new, that if you go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website, you can get absolutely free access to me, the audio files of me reading the first 12 lessons in the book, The Way of Mastery. That those 12 lessons comprise the way of the heart. And these days you can also get access to the radio shows that have happened since January 10th, which contain the reading of the book with commentary. So where we left off yesterday, we left off in lesson 4 near the top of page 53, and it says, it's reminding us that in this path that we have of trying to get home to our Creator, to be more connected to our Creator, to see the world the way the Creator sees it, as we use this energy of creation that keeps our heart beating and our food digesting and our breath moving, but it also has this very subtle quality that wants to express through us in different ways. And in this work, they're calling that energy the energy of desire. It's not an energy of craving. It's not an energy of obsession. It's not an energy of gluttony. It's not an energy of passion. It's the energy of creation, of life itself, that's moving through everyone and everything. And what they're talking about in this process is a set of tools that we can use to tune our open heart space, our awakened heart space, to rely more on that guided intuition, insight, Christ mind, the one mind, Holy Spirit, the great comforter, whatever you want to call it, and to rely more and more on that, to shift the focus of our awareness and our attention more to that, away from our conscious logical mind and our egoic mind and all of our thoughts about ourselves. And it says, as you use the exercises that have been recommended, where you ask, you clear your mind, you get your breath going rhythmically and deeply, and you ask yourself, what do I truly want? And then you give yourself a minute or two to just notice whatever bubbles up in terms of physical sensations, thoughts, emotions, etc., and then write them down. And as you do that work, it will take you vertically from this conscious, logical worry about day-to-day and what did so-and-so say about me and does my hair look right and do I have the right kind of car. You take from that surface-level thought vertically into the heart of the creation itself by learning to tune into, become consciously aware of, and discern with greater and greater depth of perception the energy of creation as it wants to express uniquely through you in each moment. And as you do that, it says, along the way, everything unlike love is going to come up for you to release it, for you to become aware that you've identified with it, for you to become aware that you're clinging to it, that you somehow have a sense that this is what gives your life meaning and purpose and that you have to have your stereo and you have to have your, you know, shoe collection and rock collection and 1,700 guitars and whatever it is that your passion is. And while there's everything is good with all of those things, that's not your essence. And so when you release your attachment to those things, when you release your attachment to the negative self-talk, the self-loathing thoughts, the shame, the bitterness, the hurt, the resentment, when you release that, it's easier and easier for you to connect vertically into the heart of creation. During the process, you'll go through a metamorphosis that would culminate in your being the living incarnation of the power of Christ. And your soul would realize the fulfillment that it has always sought. That brings us to the top of page 53 where it says, for you see, the reason that you have cleverly decided to trick yourself into blocking the energy of desire, blocking your awareness of that desire, is that your soul knows that were it to follow such a thread through the whole and total commitment, your soul knows it will be embarking on the pathway that's set before you by the Creator that knows how to take you home. If you arrive at home, it will mean that you will have to have given up the concept of the identification with being a seeker. You will have had to become one who has found And you will have to rise above the crowd. You'll have to give up all of your identity with smallness. You'll have to give up needing the approval of others. And you will have left the nest of insanity. You will have arisen and taken up your rightful place at the right hand of creation. And that is your deepest fear, to actually be the truth of who you are, Christ incarnate. It goes on to say, desire can be much fun. Ideally, once you have practiced this on your own, you can ask a friend or a mate if they would be willing to embark on this process with you, so that perhaps once a week you can sit down together and say, well, what did you come up with when you were stopping and asking yourself, what is it you truly desire? When you were doing this practice that was laid out in this session, when you're wide open and completely honest, it's called undressing in front of a friend. It's called becoming, and I'm changing the words here, to becoming completely open and honest with another. They use the word vulnerable, but at other times they are very clear about the fact that you, who you are, your essence cannot be hurt. So I'm using the phrase, it's called being open and honest, wide open with another person. It's called finding another child to play with in the kingdom, so that you can go to the sandbox away from the adult world that says, desire is bad. You guys be careful. You begin to look at what is true and real from a place of innocence. You begin to create for yourself a support group. And that support group perhaps can grow to 3 or 4 friends or even 10 or 20. In that support group, everyone is involved with getting in touch with what is really in there by understanding the principle that desire is the thread that links your soul to the heart of the Creator. And the Creator wants only to extend through you that which expresses love in the world. This is what is called creation. Perhaps that's a worthwhile project. I think they're being a bit facetious here. Of course it is. This is the extension of the creative energy and form. It's consciously becoming more and more deeply aware of your true nature and the creative power of your thoughts. For when you do not turn to allow the embrace of desire, there is only one alternative. It is to live in mere survival. When you choose the energy of mere survival, the world is your master, before which you will be made to bow again and again and again and again and again, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. You will be a slave to the insanity that seems to rule this world. And you would be choosing to be a slave, because you're choosing to align with that flow of energy and that set of judgments and that set of interpretations, rather than aligning, tuning into and aligning with the energy of desire, the energy of creation that wants to express uniquely through you. And if you do that, you will never know peace. You will never know true joy. And you will never come home. It's plain and it's simple. The actuality of your existence is you were created to bear forth much good fruit. You were not created to wither and die on the vine. You were created to extend love. You were created to be a force of the creative energy. The text goes on to say, let the roots be watered by desiring above all things to become the fulfillment of what the Creator had in mind when he breathed into you the breath of life. Let that breath be received in each moment. you will come to see that the only question you need to be preoccupied with is this. How much of creation am I willing to receive and allow to be expressed through me? How much light, how much love, how much compassion, how much awareness of the connection of all things am I willing to receive and allow to be expressed through me? The text goes on to say, this is called separating the wheat from the chaff. And again, for those who aren't farmers, this would be separating the non-nutritional parts of the grain from the parts that are nutritional. Separating the husk or the shell, that stuff that has no nutritional value, from the part that can nourish and support life and growth. In this analogy, the chaff is thinking of the world that would is the thinking of the world that would have you believe in smallness. This can only result in your perpetual suffering. The wheat, the nutrition, the meat of the matter is the food that gives life, because this is filled with the love of creation, with the energy of creation expressing in form. Fear not then this energy of desire. Allow it, embrace it, surrender to it, accept it, surrender to it, and thereby transcend it. Desire to embrace this energy of creation. Touch it, feel it, know it, dance with it, sing with it, and look at it innocently. Feel it completely, deeply, wholly, and then learn to discern through the ways we've given you what desire is truly. Discern that it is that thread that is shining forth through all of your days. Then decide to let that desire inform your decisions so that you create a life that serves the fulfillment of that thread of desire. The text goes on to say, I had to do the same, for I began to notice that there was a thread of desire in my heart to create some form of demonstration that would be so overwhelming that anyone who turned their attention to it could not help but be reminded that there is something far greater to this life than just living to survive and surviving just to live. Even when I was young, I began to get glimpses. At first, they were fleeting, and something was compelling me. And as I learned to trust desire, the pictures became clearer and clearer. In those moments of revelation when I was still but a teenager, I saw myself standing on hilltops surrounded by multitudes. And I marveled at the words that came through my mouth. I saw glimpses and pictures of being loved by millions. I saw pictures and things that I could not even comprehend because they were literally pictures of what I'm doing now, 2,000 years later. And how could a teenager living in Judea 2,000 years ago have any way of comprehending the use of technologies of your modern world in which to communicate this energy of love? It made no sense to me, but still, I decided to trust it. A part of that thread was the recognition that death is unreal. Therefore, I thought that I ought to be able to create a demonstration that would prove it. Now, just think about that for a moment. If a thought like that was born in you and you tried to share it with the world, would you not be told you were crazy to desire to dare to think that such a thing was completely out of line with everything the world believes. But because I followed the thread of desire, I began to realize that it kept speaking to me day after day, week after week. It wanted to grow. It wanted to be nurtured. So finally I decided, quote, I'm going to allow that thread to be nurtured. I'm going to discover where it takes me and what it's all about, close quotes. Where it took me was into mastery of life and death, mastery of healing, mastery of consciousness. It took me into mastery of myself. It brought me home to my own Christed beingness. Because I followed that thread, I can talk to you today. There are many of you that appreciate what I have done because you see me as a spokesperson for the capital T truth. It is time that you and became likewise a spokesperson for actuality, for what truly is, for reality at an absolute sense. For just as you have been sent to these teachings, to me, to these words, to this book, there have been many who will be sent to you as you step from being a seeker to a finder. For as you take up your rightful place, you will become a vehicle through which the voice for creation will creatively touch the lives of countless persons that you may never, ever meet physically. You were birthed to be grand. You were birthed to be grand. You were birthed for greatness. You were birthed to shine forth such a light into this world that the world then remembers that light is true and darkness is illusion. Choose to be, therefore, that which you are. You are the light of the world, and I will delight in journeying with you. I can join with anyone who chooses to step into their own Christedness. The connecting thread, that thread is the energy of desire. Therefore, begin to turn toward the energy of desire within yourself, to separate the wheat from the chaff by first learning to feel it for just a minute without judging it, and then learn to deepen that process. You will reach the point where with every breath that you breathe, you are in touch with the energy of desire. And that is the only voice that you will give authority to. So here's the sidebar that I keep trying to bring up. The point, all of the material on the website at christmind.info, the point of this book, all three books, The Way of the Heart, The Way of Transformation, and The Way of Knowing, is to help you step into creating your own experience of your deep, constant, ever-present connection to the source, which can teach you, which can be there as the interpretation of the Ruka Dakucha, is that it's this elemental force specific to humans that every one of us has access to, and it's there to help break off the effects of our errors in thought and guide us to truth and happiness if we just ask it to. Well, this energy that they're talking about in this chapter, this energy of life, this energy of love, this energy of creation that wants to express uniquely through you, that's going to carry the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the Great Comforter, the Christ Mind, etc. And that's the only voice you'll need to listen to, the only voice that you will give authority to. You will not need a teacher. You will not need a priest. You will not need a guru. You will not need a doctor. you will have access to the same wisdoms that gave rise to every deep, practical spiritual teaching that's ever come into existence. Right there inside yourself. Right there in the flow of your own energy system. Connected to the energy that keeps your heart beating and your food digesting and your breath moving without your even thinking of it. Connected constantly, infinitely, deeply with that is the wisdom that will allow you to birth your own Christed consciousness. The text goes on to say, when that happens, you will not be able to keep up with the loving creation that wants to express through you. You will marvel at the friends that come into your life and how your external solar system in which your little planet is spiraling, how it begins to change. You will marvel and wonder how all of this is happening. You will finally discover that you are not the maker and doer of your life, that creation wants to direct and make life, capital L life, express through you. You'll wake up to realize that life is expressing in, through, as, and around you in every present moment. And you're just part of it. The text says, then you will know the truth that sets you free. And here's the quote. Of myself, I do nothing. But the Creator through me does all things. And it is very good. Close quotes. This process of aligning with the energy that wants to express uniquely through you in each moment is a practice. It's attuning to a specific, beyond words powerful, and also beyond words subtle energy. When you begin to turn toward the energy of desire within yourself by first learning to feel it for just a minute in total acceptance, with childlike innocence and playfulness, with observation, and then you learn to deepen that process so that your internal awareness, your intuition, your gut, your feeling senses are more and more aligned with and tuned into that energy moment to moment. When that happens, you will reach the point where with every breath that you breathe, you are in touch with this energy of creation, the energy of desire. And you'll reach the point where that will be the only voice that you give authority to. You'll hear other people. You'll have other little twitches and urges. But you will be able to discern this deep connection you have to the energy of creation, the flow of life, the great comforter, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, God mind, Christ mind, the one mind. You will be able to discern the difference between that and the egoic trainings, comings and goings, identifications, trauma energies. And you will give only authority to this one clear, pure energy trying to express through you. Once that happens, you will not be able to keep up with the loving creation that wants to express through you. And you will marvel at the friends that come into your life and at how your external solar system changes. That energy of the social life in which your planet spins, your little personal egoic mind is dancing and playing with others. You will marvel and you will wonder, how is this happening? How did I end up here? How am I connected to so many other wonderful, loving beings who are all pursuing the same alignment with the creative energy? And you will finally discover that you are not the maker and doer of your life, and that creation wants to direct and make life, capital L life, creation, flow through you. Then you will know the truth that sets you free. Of myself, do nothing. I don't even know how my food digests when I eat it. I can't tell you what muscles and nerves have to fire and what counterbalances have to go into motion for me to get my body up out of this chair and walk across the room. Of myself, I do nothing, and yet the Creator through me does all these things and more. And it's perfect just as it is. Be you therefore at peace and desire well. Desire to stay aligned with, attuned to that energy of desire. For when you feel desire, you are watering your roots with the energy of life itself. Trust it. Embrace it. And let the petals of the rose blossom with your holy being, within your holy being, from your holy being. We are love as you are love, and we are with you. If you could only see how much enlightened help there is surrounding you at any moment, you would never allow the fear of going astray with your desire to win a victory within your mind. That fear will come and go. It will arise, but you won't let it win once you begin to realize how much enlightened help there is surrounding you in every moment. Once you realize that, you will step forth with boldness, and all things will be made new again. So here's the closing question of lesson 4. It's the only lesson, it says, that you need to be preoccupied with. It's the only question. Once you start watering the roots and tuning into the energy that feeds everything about your life, here's the question. How much of the Creator's love are you willing to receive? How much are you willing to let flow to be expressed through you? That's the only question you need to be asking yourself, and the only relationship you need to be concerned with is your relationship with that energy of creation, with your Creator. Not that there isn't value to other relationships, but simply that all other relationships flow through that one relationship. Seek the first excellence, and then everything will flow from that. Seek first the kingdom. Seek to be aware of what life itself would desire to express through you. And everything else will take care of itself. So that brings us to the end of lesson 4 for the second time. And we have probably about 20 minutes left to take comments, questions for clarification, questions to refute any part of what we're saying, to explore it at a deeper level. 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, let us know how it's landing with you to have gotten through these first 4 lessons. And we've read each of them at least twice. And again, most of these shows have been curated out and put on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website on a separate page that says WOM on MindShifters Radio with commentary. Please avail yourself of that and or pass the information along to somebody else you think might be interested. It's just a resource. Click it and play it. There's no need to sign up to be on a mailing list. No need to give anybody any money. Just avail yourself of what resources are being offered if they're of value to you. So how is it landing? We've got 20 minutes left, not quite 20 minutes left. How can we support you? Area code 541, you're maybe someday soon will be in the air. Who do we have?
Celinda.
Welcome, Celinda. Thanks for the call. I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Well, I am just totally delighted in this way of mastery, and it is opening up for me so many avenues of awareness and new ways of expressing, and also the recovery work within myself of forgiving that which does not serve me or the other. I had a couple quotes I wanted to share with you that remind me of the themes in this book. One is an African proverb that says, if there is no enemy within, the enemy without can do you no harm. And another one by Pema Chodron, a Buddhist, Tibetan Buddhist monk, that says, since the time of death is uncertain and death itself is certain, what is the most important thing? And I think that's exactly what the Way of Mastery is saying in these wonderful words. All of these threads of the different spiritual understandings are just coming together for me in this one great golden thread, reminding me of the cloak of the Creator and the, I think it was in Isaiah where it was mentioned that the Creator's cloak comes out from the throne, and as it gets farther and farther away from the throne, the different threads start getting so separated from each other that they don't recognize each other. And I just think that's such a good analogy for all of our different spiritual and cultural paths for returning home, remembering that each of us is a thread of the divine cloak of the Creator. I just wanted to share those with you because I'm having so much fun going through this book with you.
Well, it's delightful. Thank you. I got a question from, I think it was Susan who sent me an email, and she asked about thoughts about this desire practice and how the lists were really stirring stuff up for her. And she was asking about it with a question that basically is, she says, am I getting too nitpicky here? And I'm saying, no, that's exactly the right thing. That once we get into the practice of clearing our minds and asking ourselves what we want and then writing it down, the point is not the things that we're writing down. The point of the exercise is to become aware of the energy that we can become aware of that's always there within us, that gives rise to the thoughts or the impulses that formulate as, oh, I want ice cream, or, oh, I want to go draw, or, oh, I want to go for a walk. The point is not the thing that I desire. The point of these exercises is to wake us up to the presence of the energy that carries that thought pattern, or that the flow of the energy, like a breeze through an open window, that catches our attention and brings with it the smell of the evergreens outside or the smell of the flowers, the lilacs in the spring. The essence of what's important is not the smell of the lilacs, it's the energy that carries it to us. And the more we do this kind of practice, the more we, you might say, tune our tuner, we align our tuner, our FM radio tuner, to just the right frequency so that on a regular basis as we live our lives day to day, we can be constantly connected to that energy flow and aware of what it stimulates in us. And with choice, use that input as one of a variety of things in the present moment awareness that gives rise to our next right action.
And that choice is in this field of great acceptance. So it's not about having to do anything. It's about looking at it and saying, how does this help me and the whole of myself at the same time, which includes all of creation?
Right. And recognizing, I mean, this whole process of learning is everybody who's hearing these words, everybody who's working on this, it's safe to say they were raised in the Western world where they were taught that all of their emotions and their reactions are being caused by the flow of life outside of them. And this whole teaching is about waking up to the fact that that's never been the truth. The flow of life outside of me is just energy. It's my choice of how to interpret and respond to that energy. It's my choice of how I focus my mind energy, in which direction I focus it and how much of it I pour into that pattern of thought, that's what creates my experience. And in that process, you know, this is why in the lesson, in lesson four, it says, just clear your head and ask yourself what you want. And just wake up to be more alive and awake and aware about every sexual thought you have. And just watch how the breath changes or the heart rate increases or the smile comes to your face. Certain energies in certain part of your bodies, you know, give rise to a stimulation, pleasant or unpleasant. Just be aware of it. And then it quickly said, now, please hear us. We're not saying you should walk down the street and grab every person that you have a sexual thought about, because you can choose. That's the whole first lesson. The whole first two lessons are about how you are in control. You are choosing. You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness and to choose which behaviors you engage in and don't, to choose which essence of the thread of desire and its particular flavorings in you, you decide to give action to or not. So over and over again in this work, it highlights choice.
And there's a
set of practices that just tune us into the energy. Go ahead.
Right. And I'm also playing with the perception of co-creativity, my perception of co-creativity. It's like each one of us comes together with another something or someone, and I am 100% responsible for creating my meaning in a relational situation, and the other thing or person is responsible for creating theirs, depending on their state of evolution and their state of awareness.
Did you say your meaning and their meaning? Did you use the word meaning? Okay.
Yes. And if I were a spider, then I would have a spider's meaning, right? If I'm a human, then I have a much greater capacity to draw from the meanings, because I understand a spider to be a reflective expression of the nature of love. So it reactive, it responds to love given to it or hostility given to it or whatever. This is my limited understanding at the moment. And so if I am relating to another person, there's a co-creativity involved there and maybe with other species as well. So I'm 100% responsible for my reality that I'm creating meaning for, and the other person, if it is a person, is 100% responsible for their meaning as to what those sensory inputs are telling them. And the co-creation comes into the outcome that is created between us in our, from our interactions. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I can follow it at that intellectual level, but I want to just say that this prompts me to say this is a lot of intellectual words about a process that's got to be heart-centered. So I wouldn't keep analyzing that co-creative stuff and layers of it, because in this work, they're calling me right in the first lesson. And page 5, right after they give you the first axiom, which says, you don't experience anything that you haven't chosen. And then a little bit later on, it says, remember, the way of the heart is not an intellectual process. It's not right. An intellectual pathway. The intellect, all of this stuff that you're talking about now with layers of comprehending, the difference between you and a spider and whether or not you're co-creating with all of that is intellectual processing, and that was meant to be the servant, the very simple servant of what? Of the awakened heart. What's the awakened heart? Words. I don't know. You will have an experience of it if you engage these practices. One simple way to talk about it is your awakened heart is your energy center that's been tuned into the energy of creation, the energy of the divine, the Christ mind, the great comforter, whatever. And that's all we can say about it, because beyond that, it's all just words which are symbols of symbols. And the words and the layers of thought around it are not what we're here for. We're here for the experience that goes beyond words each new heartbeat. So while I can say, yeah, your words make sense, the next thing my mind wants to say is, Tim, don't get stuck in this co-creative. Just do the practice, right? Stay in the feeling sense. Be in that open, allowing space.
That's
say again?
Because that's good. I like what you just said, because when I was going through one of the darkest periods of my life, I went to a reparenting therapist who was also a good friend of mine, and she mentioned to me one time the possibility that I was driven into only using the intellectual process because the mind process and was actually driven into the intellectual part of my mind before my mind had grown into that naturally. And so I would use the intellect to cover up my thought processes, to cover up what I felt because the feelings were so scary. So that's really interesting and good, because I want to put my mind in its rightful place. And like Susan, I think possibly we are rather birds of a feather, I think, and that, or I feel, and that how do we bridge that? And what you're telling me is a way of the heart is just do these little practices and the way will open.
And understand that the goal is not, oh, ice cream. I really want ice cream. And now for 7 days in a row, craving ice cream has been the central theme in these exercises when I did it. So that must mean I better go out and buy some ice cream. whether it's ice cream or a motorcycle or, you know, a chocolate cake or a new Care Bear collection, that's not the point of the exercise. The point of the exercise is to become aware of this very subtle energy that is what carries me, stimulates me to those thoughts about getting more jewelry or getting ice cream or going for a bike ride or doing some drawing. Or it's the energy that I'm trying to become aware of and tune into. And then with practice, be able to choose to stay tuned into it more frequently, moment to moment throughout the day. And then, you know, the next thing is, if I've done this for quite a while and I'm getting better at it, then I might want to expand my practice by undressing in front of a friend. I might want to get a friend and have them agree to be doing the practice on their own and then have us get together once a week or so and say, hey, let's, you read your list of desires or energies that gave rise to specific desires to me, and I'll read mine to you. And when we do that process, it helps us encounter our fears. It helps us understand that all minds are joined and we don't need to have all of this privacy that our culture would teach us we should have. And it helps us move into that space of being wide open, which, oddly enough, in direct contradiction to what most of our cultural teachings would have us believe, will put us in direct experience of a strength and a safety that we can't get any other way. There's no amount of raging. There's no amount of intellectualizing. There's no amount of meditation practice or mantra repetition that will let me tap into this beyond words strength and stability that comes from learning to live wide open. So it isn't that you have to do that. It's just that you might choose to do that. And, you know, each of us is going to have our own levels of fear come up when we think about sharing our deepest desires with somebody else at various levels of, you know, knowing them or being in relationship with them. It doesn't have to be our spouse, although it could be. It doesn't have to be somebody who's reading the Way of Mastery, although it could be. But the point of the exercise, as I understand it, is to align with that energy of desire and be willing to see everything that's unlike love in my energy system that comes up as I do this practice, as I deepen this practice. Because, as it says very clearly in the lesson, that's exactly what's going to happen. My fears about losing my identification of my sense of self, my fear about losing my safety, in quotes, from my privacy and my hiding all of my deepest thoughts, as I give that up, I have an entirely different experience of life and of myself. And that's the goal, having a different experience. So I thank you for being with us. You've helped us go to the end of the hour.
Thank
so
you.
I will mute you so you can listen in. Blessings. And I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. So
have a wonderful show.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mind Shifters Radio. And today is Wednesday, March the 2nd, 2022. And our calling number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And I actually wrote to Michael earlier and asked him if he was going to be on the show today. He has not responded to me. So I am going to assume he's either running late or he's not going to be joining us. So I will just welcome you to this show and invite you to go to our website, whyagain.org, and just look around. There's lots of changes, lots of things to read and watch and engage in. If you haven't updated the app on your phone, whether it's an iPhone or an Android, please do so and put it to work. There's a lot of new features in the app. And Michael just popped up on the switchboard, so I will welcome Michael.
Buddy, it's nice to be back, although I'm not exactly back home yet. I'm sure Jamie's explained that and ended up getting bumped. We did some work in Los Angeles, and then there was a client there that wanted to work with a friend of his in Las Vegas, so we flew into Las Vegas for one day, and then my flight got bumped. It was almost impossible.
Is your microphone all the way up? You're a little bit, you're far away.
Okay. Is that any better?
Much better.
Okay, good. So not being able to get back to Bristol in a timely way, I ended up flying to Sarasota, doing some work down here with Dr. John that I went out to work with in California. And, it's been an interesting week or so since I've been gone. We are working on it with a couple of medical doctors, a political person, ended up doing some work on 3 different billionaires, money people, and working on creating a possible healthcare plan that will actually be healthcare for America. And we have the ear of, at least not myself, but Dr. John has the ear of a couple of political people who have an interest in actually having healthcare in America. So it was all in all, we worked on about 30 different people doing, John does a thing called NCR, nasal cranial release, where he expands. Those who've done an intensive, you know, the thesis about the bony structure of the head, the spine and the pelvis being an antenna, and restoring that antenna to integrity by mobilizing it. And so the energy field work mobilizes that antenna from the outside, and Dr. John, literally by inserting and inflating a balloon in any one of 3 different positions in each nostril, and that mobilizes the core of this cranial structure, the antenna, and powerful, powerful process. So it's been an interesting week, and it's nice to be back.
You need to get in a different position or hold your mic up, Michael. You keep getting muffled, and we're missing about every 4th word.
Oh.
And I just texted somebody and said, is it me or is he muffled? And they said, yes, you were muffled.
Okay, well, I'm not sure. There must be something going on with the
right
phone.
Right there is clear.
Right up against the microphone. Okay, well, let's try that.
All right. Okay.
So in any event, it's nice to be back. I hope we can keep the sound up. And the increase in awareness in California, it was interesting how so many people had the brain cells to listen to the forgiveness conversation. It was pretty incredible. And Jeannie was checking our the downloads on the forgiveness app, on the Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness app, and it looks like it, in the last week, has gone up about 10 times or more. So there seems to be a lot of people ready for the conversation and downloading the app and going to work with forgiveness. So hold the space for things to move forward, rock and roll. And now, of course, this forgiveness process, we're reversing the culture's idea of forgiveness. You know, the bottom line is never forgive anybody for anything. Never forgive yourself for anything, but forgive continuously, which sounds like a conflict only because we've been given a false definition of forgiveness. We've been told that we're supposed to let other people off the hook because there's pain moving in us, which, of course, is literally shake the hand of 7.5 billion people on the planet and say, I forgive you, I forgive you, and I have done absolutely nothing to address the energy that's moving in me that's causing my pain. So in the first century, you'd be handed a tool with which you go inside yourself, and you remove literally the energetic roots of your pain. And so that's what we're here to support, to assist people in understanding, and to make available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So we're glad that you're one of those minds, hearts, and beings, and delighted to be here again. And if you're out there in listening land and you have a thought or a question for us, call in number if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you. It's 563-999-3581. Which one? Let's have a conversation.
Do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up, sweetie?
No, nobody has a hand up. Someone was just texting me. I was rereading it that it still sounded a little strange, but that if you would slow down, that maybe the where it cuts out about ever so many seconds, if you slowed down in your talking, maybe it wouldn't cut out a whole word.
Well, we'll see how that works.
All right. So if anyone has a question, press 1.
In the phone queue. Yeah, let's have some conversation here. I am still in Sarasota, Florida. I've been running all morning, getting some things accomplished here. So to hear from somebody who's got a topic you'd like to bring up, something that is challenging to you, that you have some questions about, you need some support with, how can we support you? And or, Jeannie, have you shared with folks what's happening with Dad, the developments there? Are we up to date? I know that's been a big part of the conversation.
Yeah, I don't think anything has changed since I processed last Friday that, you know, Stephen and I had gone around and looked and have not heard from the facility. I'm actually going to call them when we get off the show and see if they've gone and assessed him yet or when they plan to go assessing and go from there.
Well, we'll keep holding the space. The willingness that I saw in California to
get closer to your microphone or something, you've moved.
Well, I'm in the same position. Sarasota, you're sitting here, so.
If you can hear me, you're gone. I mean, like, we can barely hear that you're whispering, but we can't tell if you're talking to us or somebody in the room. So I don't know if you've moved or what, but we totally lost you. Are you there? Hello, Michael. Give me opportunity to do another worksheet if I have to do the show again today. So I am not sure what happened. It shows he is still on the switchboard, but he is can't hear him. So I am not sure what's going on there. Give him just a second. He did just drop off, so maybe he'll dial right back in. There, his number popped back
up.
Let's
see
if we can hear him now. That's much better. Stay still.
I'm driving, so can't easily.
Oh, well, stop. I said, you're going to make me do a worksheet if I have to do the show again.
Did I just hear you say you wanted to do another worksheet, sweetie?
You did not hear what I said.
Well, maybe we could talk about that workshop, communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Interesting topic. One of, oh, I don't know, 30 different tools that we have in the armament. And each one creates a different level of opening for functioning fully as the human being. We're functioning
fully as the presence of love. Our objective is to support every person we make contact with, recognizing who they are as love and being restored to awareness of themselves as love and to go of all the false images generated by the mind that convince us that we've got to fight, we've got to struggle, and we've got to feel bad about ourselves, and we've got to guilt other people, and we've got to force people, and all the crazy tactics that the non-being mind uses to try to make sense of the world. When we delete that, all of a sudden, a world that makes sense becomes totally and completely obvious, and we become functional as human beings. Everybody that's been on the show for very long knows that the question that we direct people to, if you want to establish what human life is just hold a newborn and tap into the essence of that newborn. I was actually took a Lyft ride in Las Vegas the day before yesterday, and young woman was had a master's degree in psychology, and we started talking about forgiveness, started talking about the Aramaic, and she was just mind-boggled to think of herself, and she had a daughter, her daughter, as love. It was like a shocking thought to her. And this is someone who's a therapist who's working with people through a nonprofit corporation and driving Lyft on the side. And it was just like, wow, that's so cool. I never thought of that. Wow, you mean that's what we are? And yeah, it is a shock to a lot of people at first. And beyond the hostility and fear of the world, a whole different process awakens in us, a process that shocks most people at first because it's inconceivable from the space where one believes oneself to be an hostility or fear-based being rather than a love-based being. And that's our offering to each of us. That's what you are. That's what each of us is. We all start out this way. And the specialty of the world is to knock that awareness of being love out of us, and then it gives a message that we should go find somebody to love, or we should go find somebody to quote-unquote love us. And to recognize that that is an impossibility. You know, nobody's ever loved you. Nobody's ever going to love you. You've never loved anyone. You're never going to. What we call love, this non-being world, is approval. Oh, I approve of you. Therefore, I love you. And if you stop doing what I want you to do, then I'll stop approving of you. And when I stop approving you, I'll say, I don't love you anymore, and I'm going to leave. And all of that's got to do with approval. Instead of living as the presence of love, as a human being, and recognizing that love doesn't come from somebody else. Love is not something we get from anyone. It's not something we can give to anyone. We can show up in our relationships as the presence of love. We can live as the presence of love. And then everything that the mind generates being based on love is different than what the mind generates when we think fear is the order of the day, when we think hostility is what we need in order to win, to control, to beat, what have you. So we're here to create a different paradigm and to make that paradigm so universally available that it becomes a living that state 24/7, 365. So that's our objective. That's what we're here for. And we're delighted that you're on the team to be part of the conversation. And if you're out there in listener land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? 3-999-3581. Unfortunately, with all the goings on here with this traveling, I've not had an autolog prepared for today, so I'm ready for a dialogue. Somebody pick up the phone and
you're breaking up again.
Well, I don't know what to do. I'm now sitting
well,
still.
Well, right there, it's over. Clear.
Sitting still. Okay.
So, nobody has a hand up. There's no questions. There's several listeners, and actually there's a couple numbers that I don't recognize. So we've got some new listeners. And let's see, a hand just went up. Actually, two hands just
oh, cool.
went up. So the first one Wait. Is area code 314. I believe this is Doug.
Well, hello there, Jeannie and Michael. Yep.
Well, hey there, young man. Good to hear from you. How are you?
Oh, I could be. How do I answer that
worse?
One? I don't know. It could be worse. Yeah. Yeah, it could be worse. It could be better. I'm challenged. And I thought, well, no one is raising their hand. I think I should take advantage of that opportunity.
Let's go for it. How can we support you in what you're being challenged with?
Well, my main challenge is just my attachments to the relationship that is basically winding down. I'm manifesting shingles here the last 3 days, which is uncomfortable, but it's manageable at the moment. It's delaying my departure conveniently. That's an interesting observation.
If you look at the questions you ask yourself to determine whether it's a symptom of healing or a disease process, how do your answers go on that?
Okay, so I heard you say, Michael, I really couldn't hear the question. I'm sorry. If I heard the context around it, but what is the thing that I should ask?
While I was just checking in with you to see if you felt like you were in a healing crisis, that this is your body eliminating something. You know, remember there are four questions to ask.
Yeah.
Am I doing more and more of the right things? Elimination. What's happened to my vitality?
Well, perhaps, you know, I mean, perhaps it is. I mean, I feel like probably the long COVID compromised my immunity and that gave rise to this. That's what I'm speculating more than anything. I have a whole packet of worksheets and writings and stuff that I put together the other day, like almost an inch thick, that's all related to this relationship. And I'm basically, you know, I can't say that this is a healing crisis, but it is in a way, because I know without question that I am being moved into something other than how I have been radically. And I, you know, manifesting, seeing myself being directed by, in the flow of love in a different way for my life and its expression and purposes is what has to be. I'm aware of that. But as far as, you know, and I'm doing all the right things as best I can. I have been for, you know, 6 months. I mean, I take two handfuls of supplements, and I finally ended up getting on a couple of drugs for the long COVID, and it was right after that that this happened. So I don't know, but I do think that I'm just extremely open to looking at, I have a worksheet in my hand, or, you know, other ideas or mind shifters, but because it's like I'm right at the edge of finishing up my projects here, and, you know, the thing to do is next is to start packing the car and leaving, and I don't really want to, you know, I mean, I feel like this relationship is the most valuable thing in my life. I want to be committed to this for the rest of my life. That's how I feel emotionally. And, you know, over the last 2 years, Diana's just, she's moved more and more away from that idea. And at this point, it's hard for me emotionally, the pain that I feel up, the loss and sadness and the grief and the feelings that this isn't the only shard of, oh, this is the right thing I can get to, is this is driving me to something better inside, to become something more. But as far as my emotional content, I'm just so adamantly, you know, both, you know, I experience sadness and I experience a lot of grief and I experience a lot of sense of conviction in myself that this is an errant course to be taking and that our potential is worth holding on to. And so I didn't really have any particular place to go other than just say, well, let me call in and see what happens, you know.
Right, right. Well, the obvious worksheet, you know, what I hear you saying is there's sadness and a lot of pain in the so-called, so to speak, file in your mind on relationship.
Right.
And
yep.
That kind of energy held in your file on relationships, just the presence of that in your physiology, would tend to energetically lead you in a direction where responses in relationship wouldn't be of the naturally highest level to inspire relationship to keep moving. And energetically holding that would not tend to resonate in your partner the highest responses. And so the obvious worksheet, I'll just ask if you've done this one yet, and of course it sounds counterintuitive, to cancel your need to be in that relationship. Have you done that?
Yes, I have. I've constantly worked at that. I have. I think maybe I hear this as just keep doing more, you know.
What comes up when you do that particular worksheet? What kind of thoughts? What kind of emotions?
Well, I can't remember exactly at the moment, nor can I put my hand on those worksheets probably in this moment while I'm on the phone. But I recall is that one of the things that came up was tremendous sadness with the difficulties my parents were having in relationship, fear of loss of my parents as a couple when I was a child, when I was
right.
eight, and they were separating and breaking up. I felt fear that I wouldn't be okay, that I would not be, that my survival would be threatened by that.
Is that a current thought as well? In departing from this relationship?
Yes, that's in the dynamic. It is. Yes. Yes, it
is. So have you done any, you know, it might be useful to do some worksheets from the point of view, go back and seeing as how that's fresh and that has come up with the work you've been doing. It might be valuable to go back and do worksheets as your mother, as your father, as though you were them, and what they were going through, and see what you could uncover as you do some forgiveness around their divorcing and breaking up, and see what else, just what shows up if you get into a dialogue with either your mother or your father, internally or actual, and you know, see what hidden dynamic might be left behind from that experience. Eight years of age is a pretty impressionable place for a kid to be concerned about, am I going to survive?
Right, yeah. I haven't done any worksheet from the perspective of my parents, so yeah, that would be good.
Might be worthwhile doing that. You know, imagine that you are your mom, you're sitting in your room and you know, all the confusion and frustration and rage or fear, whatever's up to her, and working to do a worksheet as though you were actually her sitting there, and then you think that perspective might uncover some of the dynamics that are still running in your energy field in regard to relationships.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
Have you?
You've
been in a workshop before, I think, where we've done the releasing the emotional attachments. Correct. Now we use the two pencils of light. Do you remember that exercise?
I don't remember that right offhand. No.
Okay. Well, it might be worth doing this. I've seen this exercise it's so simple, but I've seen it make profound shifts in people's relationships. Like just bang right there, just change everything. And it's a way of getting centered in your brain, located in your brain, and doing a verbal release of attachment to the emotional ties that keep, you know, it isn't removing the relationship, but just breaking the chains of emotional responses that are so habitual that even when you say, okay, I'm never going to do that again, next time that circumstance presents itself, there it is. And that can be a powerful release mechanism. And if you'd like to do that, we can do that at this moment.
Sure. Sounds good.
So let's do it in two. I don't usually do two different circumstances at a time, but the sense I get at this point is it might be useful to, one, do one in regard to your parents' relationship, do one in regard to your relationship with Diane.
Okay. All right. I also found one of the worksheets where I had that content about my parents and stuff just in case. All right. So, yes, let's do that.
Okay. So you want to just close your eyes, get in a comfortable place, and close your eyes, go inside. Anyone else who wants to do this, it can be a powerful, simple exercise, but I've seen it change a lot of dynamics in relationships. And so what you want to do is close your eyes and just go inside, and I want to direct you to your awareness to a particular area in your brain, and that's the seat of the unconscious where you can let go of these emotional attachments. You can cut the strings to emotional attachments. And so with eyes closed, I want you to just imagine that I'm there and I have two pencils of light. And I'm going to insert them, one of them right down through the center of your head, and the other one right through the center of the forehead. They call the third eye.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then, so imagine that I've got two pencils of light, and I'm inserting them in those two places while you breathe, and just allow your awareness to be at the place where those two pencils get to meet. When you're there.
Where the two pencils meet? Okay.
Yeah, where the pencil tips would meet if I were to insert them in the third eye and the possible grandchild.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. So staying with your awareness in that thought, verbally addressing and asking for help from Rukka. Rukka, I release all attachment to my parents staying together.
Okay, I release all attachment to my parents staying together.
That's a good breath.
Okay. Yeah.
And what happened?
Well, that I feel a definite lightening up. It also feels, I can feel, you know, all the reasons why I was gripping to them staying together. You know, but saying I release all attachment to my parents staying together, I feel lighter and I feel more empowerment because it feels like when I say that, then I must be capable of managing without them staying together, which is the opposite side of the thought that terrifies me when I think of them breaking up. So it's like, okay, well, if I'm saying it's okay if they break up, then I will surely be okay. And that feels very good. Very good.
Perfect. Awesome. And if you were to now, just being in that state, your eyes still closed, bring an image of your parents to mind, what would that image look like?
Well, I see them on the occasions. I feel very emotional. On the occasions that they were getting along like we used to. We used to go to Star Rock State Park, and I remember them there enjoying one another. That's what comes to mind.
Yeah. Keep breathing into that and just be with that image and be with them. And be with the pain that it resonates in you. And from this state,
yeah.
So you've released attachment. Now, cancel your goal for them to stay together. Go for it. Go on into that. Breathe right into that and go for it. And a lot of times we'll unconsciously try to recreate a circumstance in order to give us one more opportunity to work through it. And
that
when we
makes
work through
sense.
It, we can stop that recreation process. You know, behave differently, think differently, act differently than prompted by those unconscious dynamics that don't resolve.
Yeah, I cancel my goal for my parents to stay together. That's very difficult. It does have a lot of, I can see how that goal says, you know, how I felt so contrary to that, just like I do about this. It's like a similar evidence, a similar energy of there's no way that's the right thing, you know, is what comes forward. It's mm-hmm. like an obstinate, strong sense of resisting to that and believing that this would be wrong for my parents to break up. But it's very noteworthy to me that that feels so similar to how I feel about my present situation, that those energies are like you know, basically the same energy.
Yeah.
That's very useful.
Yeah. There's a book about this. I think it's called Why Is This Happening to Me Again?
No kidding. Yeah. How about
and,
that?
You know, what we hold unresolved is going to have its way. It's going to find a way to express until we can ultimately embrace it and bring it to love and process through it.
Yes. So I cancel my goal for them to stay together. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Or ask Rooka yeah. something about that.
Well,
okay.
I asked help me. So the next step, you cancel it, and then it's the asking for Rooka to process the energy that, you know, is
all right,
overwhelming.
I canceled my goal for them to stay together, and I asked for Rooka to help me process the energy that brings up in me. Awesome. Yeah.
And then maybe it just occurs to me that a brief conversation would go for it.
I see that little child so afraid. Yeah.
No. It's kind of an immobilizing fear.
Yeah, it's just a terrifying fear that I'm going to lose my parents and that it's going to be like the end of my life and everything good in it, you know? It's like... Mm. That's what arises when I say, you know, cancel my goal for them to stay together and ask for the energy that's behind that to be surrendered to Rooka. I just feel myself as that 8-year-old, like, I can't possibly have that happen. You know, that would be the end of my life. And that's very similar to elements of how I feel now. So
yeah.
This is really why this is happening to me again. Moment, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So notice you were 8, and you're now at least 28, right?
Yeah.
And notice it wasn't the end of your life.
Yeah.
So notice that
that's
was
true.
A thought disorder. It's a thought you created, a thought you made up, or maybe you inherited, or maybe you picked it up from mom or dad. Maybe that was what they were thinking as well. And notice
of course,
that
what my mind
wasn't
says,
a true thought.
What my mind says is, well, they didn't break up, so that's no proof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, ultimately they separated and got back together and my life went on, you know.
Right.
But if it had broken up, my life still wouldn't have ended. So, yeah.
So recognize that that was a thought disorder that perhaps is what you're basing your perception on. And here's the thing about it that I think is really key is that when I base my perceptual constructs on that thought disorder, I'll tend to behave in accord with it in my current situation. So I'll tend to do the very thing, say the very words, tap into the very emotions that perpetuate the effect of that thought disorder as though it's true.
Yeah, now the thought disorder we're talking about is the thought disorder being that my life would end if my parents broke up.
That your life would end.
Right?
Right.
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 Okay. And so somehow
and so,
I would be perpetuating that now.
Yes. And notice the similarity in the feelings. Remember, feelings are shadows of thoughts. But the thing to hear at this point, I think, is that recognize that if that thought's running under the surface, that thought holding such a huge emotional charge is going to tend to unconsciously push your thoughts, your words, and your behaviors out of that dynamic, which obviously you're not going to produce the same results if you're behaving out of the pure presence of being and love and knowing that you're fine in the relationship. And should you choose to move on or should the relationship come to an end, that you'll still be fine. You'll do a whole different set of behaviors and you'll be radiating a totally and completely different energy, which, you know, the fact that you and Diane have been intimate with each other, you're genetically linked. So what moves in you will tend to resonate what matches in her. And if the thought is, you know, my life is over and, you know, and I have no idea what might be going on with Diane specifically in this regard, but it might be, oh my God, I can't be around someone who's dying or leaving. So, and nothing has to be spoken for that energetic dynamic to be transferred. And of course, it could be 1,000 variations on the theme, but knowing that that's the underlying energy. Remember that high energy wave that leaves the mind when we think a thought. Powerful, especially when we're intimately connected with someone, genetically connected with someone.
Yeah, the thought going on in her, I can tell you one of them is something like, it's too much for me to deal with being the essential element of your life in that way. Or like if you're, I can't stand in a place of being that important in your life. You know, where you're going to die or something, or you're going to have, you're not going to be okay without me. I can't, that's too much of a weight to deal with. I know
right.
that's been expressed to some degree, some version of that. And I, so you're saying, I'm trying to get this in my head that I operate out of the dynamic of believing that my life's going to end like I did at 8. And so then I think, I have that emotion, that feeling, and that content, and I make choices out of that, which is, and
well,
I have emotions out of that.
There probably wouldn't
they're
be
decisions,
any choices.
Yes,
there.
Not choices.
They'd be decisions.
Not choices.
From that path.
Yes,
just play
decisions
out.
Out of that path, which are not helpful to my life or my situation.
Yeah.
And they don't support behaviors that are going to inspire healing through the relationship.
And
they'll
don't support
tend
behaviors
to create behaviors.
That will inspire healing.
Yeah, they'll tend to create behaviors in you that would tend to lead to separation. And if there's any of that in Diane, it would tend to resonate that same thing in her. And now matching bags of garbage push off of each other. And so I can see how, from what you're saying, from her perspective, it's like, well, if I'm going to be responsible and that might look more like blame for ending your life, I just can't handle that.
Right. Yep.
Because this is a, I mean, it's a pretty powerful death and survival thought. And it would tend to, you know, if you've ever been around someone who's needy, it would tend to create a neediness that most people respond negatively to. It's like, I can't fill my hole, it's too big.
Yep.
You get rid of that, and when that disappears, well, there's a whole different platform to build from, to interact
with.
And part of that platform might be, and you know, I'll be perfectly fine if I move on, and I'll support you, and you can move on, and we'll live happily ever after. It might move in that direction, but it wouldn't be this deep, needy survival energy that just keeps driving pain and insanity. Insanity being functioning out of a mind without love.
Yep, and I can definitely see where that comes from my 8-year-old self. Clearly. Yep. I have also written on this worksheet somewhere, like, my father was always there for me. He was my confidant and the person I could trust and confide in. And, you know, I have similar feelings for this relationship for her as well. And so it's like, yeah, it's very, very similar energies.
And so what I'm hearing you say, and here's where you might want to go back to the power person worksheet. You know, we in the codependence to independence intensive, we had a new power person worksheet. I don't know if you've done that, but this would be a place to do that power person worksheet, because what it sounds like you've done, you've put her in your power person file. And when you put her in your power person file, all of the unresolved dynamics from there just take over.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when you can let her out of that box,
right,
everything changes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, when the thing that puts somebody in that box is when she violates a goal that you held for your power person.
Yeah, in this case, staying in my life,
link
that goal.
Right. So you link all the unresolved dynamics from your power person into your brain's image of her, and in essence, she's going to show up as your power person. And, you know, it sounds like with Dad, it was don't leave. You're my survival. You're my confidant. And now she's your power person, and all of that unresolved energy is just playing out there. And I can only imagine that someone on the receiving end of that would say, I got to get out of here. It's too much.
Yeah.
Clean that up, and there's a foundation for a whole different process.
Sure.
And recreation of relationship from something other than the power person dynamic, because the other side, the next piece of that, and I suggest you go into the intensive and review the videos on the power person stuff. But the next thing that tends to happen is, if let's say this is you and I put you in my power person file, I'll tend to behave in a way that it's not going to be very long before I violate a goal that you held for your power person. And you're now going to put me in your power person file. And now we've got mass insanity. Did that make sense?
Yes, it did. I understand that concept. Yes.
So I dig out that new power person worksheet from the intensive and really do some work on that, because it sounds like this is right at the core of it all.
I can lay my hands on it. Yep.
Yeah. Well, there's an email that you got from Jeannie, and it's got video links to all 90 hours of the workshop.
Yeah, I can lay my hands on all of it. I've got the PowerPerson worksheet printed here.
Cool.
Do it.
This will be a perfect
now
one
this,
to do that.
He's referring to the extended one that we did.
Yes.
It's like six pages long.
I have it, Jeannie, on my clipboard. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I would do that worksheet around this whole circumstance that's happening for you with your dad, and then I do it with mom too.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of some of the conversations we've had over the years on what you've been processing with mom, and it sounds like there might be a very similar dynamic. Remember, we can have more than one power person, and the way you tell who your key power person is whose behavior do you do when the stress is up and the chips are down, when you're ultra stressed.
Yeah.
The behavior you default to is the power person that is important in regard to that particular issue. We can have a different power person in regard to a different issue. So, you know, around finances, I might have a power person relationship with mom. Around your relationships, it might be with dad. And so working through both of them would be key and important.
All right. So do one of those on both mom and dad. Yeah.
One or two or three
or 10 or 100.
77
or times
70.
70. Right. Very good. Oh, my goodness. Yay.
Yay.
Good stuff. Okay.
Rock and roll.
Somewhere very good. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
I'm delighted you were ready for it and glad you pushed the button.
Yeah. Me too.
But I jump in, you know, there's probably at least 5 or 6 hours on the codependence principle and the power person. And then it might be useful because one of the things you're going to have to do for your healing, whether you continue to create the relationship or whether you move away from it, is you're going to have a whole different foundation for communication where, you know, what projection communication looks like is I have a perceptual construct in my mind, and I'm talking to you like I believe that you caused it. And that's projection communication. When you shift the mode of communication to responsibility communication, I have a perceptual construct in my mind, and man, this one's crazy, and I realize it's mine. It's nothing to do with you except you happen to be present. And so when I can own it totally, the space gets safer for the person I'm in a relationship with to go, oh, I can open my heart and support that.
Yeah.
When the blame game is there, it's like, no, I have to shield, I have to protect myself. I can't handle this. It's too much.
Yes.
So I'd really spend some time on both of those. And, you know, you were both in that intensive, so you might both work together on it. Watch, you know, do some work around it. See what opens.
Okay.
Might be useful
Thank
for
you.
Diane to listen to this show if she's not on.
Right, she's not, but perhaps she will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet.
Thank
so, you,
you
know, we'll be holding
All
the
right.
space. Anything else to share?
No, not right now. I got a few things to do here.
You got some work to do. Yeah. Hey, that's awesome. And you know where we are every day at 1 o'clock. So if we can be of any support, that's what we're here to do.
All right. Thank you, Brother.
All right. Holding the space.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a gift. Thank you, Doug. That was awesome for everybody to tap into and get the experience of that. You know, there'll be several people, I'm sure, that'll be in touch going, oh, my God, that was me. And, you know, while we tend to think we're all different, the truth is, you know, we've all basically been through the same stuff. And when we can get conscious about it, that's when we get to work through it. You know,
and we
have
another
the
hand,
commitment.
And we've got...
let's say hello.
Yeah, we've got 9 minutes, so we've got time to cover
awesome.
Another topic. This is 541.
Cool, let's go for
I think
it.
This is Celinda. You're on the air.
Hello, it is Celinda. And I
Welcome,
really
young lady.
yes, welcome to you. And I just, I had the privilege of listening to you process with Doug. And when he first got on and said he was suffering from shingles, and this is for him a possibility, I immediately thought of Louise Hay because she has been so helpful for me. So I went to shingles, and the possible cause for creating the disease is waiting for the other shoe to drop, fear and tension, and too sensitive. And I thought if that helps Doug, wonderful. And her affirmation is, I am relaxed and peaceful because I trust the process of life. All is well in my world. And I was thinking when Doug said that Diane was the most important thing in his life, that I was just listening to Dr. Tim today reading The Way of Miracles. I'm sorry, The Way of Mastery. And he, in there he was reading that it's when nothing is more important than connecting to our life source that we begin to create consciously or allow life to express through us creating consciously. And so I thought that we're not really giving anything up. We are giving it space and putting our focus on really practicing who we already are. And that gives us back more than we could ever have received by clinging to something other than life itself, of which we are. Anyway, that's my thoughts, and I wouldn't have had those thoughts if Doug hadn't shared, and I totally relate to what he was sharing about. And thank you to all of you.
Awesome, right on. You know, there's actually one of the earlier worksheets back, oh, probably 10 years ago, we had a line in it, experiment with it to get it down to the shortest process possible. But there was a point where one of the lines in the worksheet was, you know, my error, and the error, there's only one error, and that is I made something more important than staying connected to my source. It's the only error there is. If I don't make that error and I stay connected to my source, everything is going to flow and happen. We're going to create consciously. And when we give that up, that's when we connect to the non-being mind, the hostility and fear-based mind, and we start creating unconsciously instead of out of conscious awareness. So thanks for bringing that up again and reinforcing it, because that's right where it is.
Yes, thank you. And I hope that Doug finds that helpful, just as a fact that waiting for the other shoe to drop is what we put ourselves into. It's a holding pattern when we are unable or unwilling in that moment to move on and to redirect our focus.
For sure. Connect to the active presence of love. Recognize who we are as an aspect of that in which we live, move, and have our being.
There you go. And if it weren't for my community, I would keep forgetting. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it is wonderful to have community available. So when I forget, somebody's there to support me in remembering. I like to break down words. You break down that word, remember. Become a member once again of the human race. Function is love. And sometimes, you know, in the presence of those old, especially when they're multi-generational dynamics, you sometimes have to make that reconnection 10 times a minute. Mine is so fast in bringing up, you know, its old pain-based dynamics.
Yes, and thank Doug for helping me remember, and you too, and Jeannie too, and everybody listening.
Just doing our job, ma'am, just doing our job.
In the sandbox of life.
Yes, yeah. It's pretty amazing. It's quite a gift. It is quite a gift.
And so it is.
Sweet. Well, any other thoughts for you, young lady?
No, I think that's it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Selinda,
take care. Lots of love and blessings.
Yes, Jeannie.
Your package to Aria just came just about 3 seconds ago, and it's a perfect day for a gift to come for her because she was really ill yesterday. Threw up like 7 times, and for her little body, that's a lot. But she's doing better today, but she's very calm. She's asleep right now behind me. And so when she wakes up, I'll give it to her. So thank you.
Oh, is it a little box, kind of a little homemade box?
I have not opened it. It's a 3x5 square package.
Yeah, I know what that is. I'd forgotten what it was, so I had to ask you. Yes, I think you'll love it, and I think it'll be perfect for now because you're ahead of us in growing zone by about a
right
1 or 2 zones. So I bet you're getting out in the garden already.
Oh,
perfect.
Well, it's cool that it showed up at the moment when you're on the phone having the conversation.
Yeah, it just. Just
it.
Right now.
How
cool.
Fun. I mean, every moment is the perfect moment, right?
Yes. All right. Well, lots of love and blessings.
Back to you. Amen.
Take care. All righty. Bye-bye. And thank you, everybody. We're down the last minute or so for being with us and creating the support space for bringing this forward so that we can put it in the archives. If the show's been particularly meaningful, you can go to the archives and download it and pass it along to someone else. If there's somebody else that's dealing with relationship issues, then just click the button for you. You can send them a link to it or copy the show, actually download it and send it to them for future listening. And, if you're interested in taking your work to the next level, we do have now that 90-hour codependence to interdependence communication practicum that we were referring to with Doug. There's the building the brain cells for understanding how this codependent and projection communication dynamic works in relationships, some of the tools for healing through relationships, and of course the forgiveness tools included, along with mind shifters, still point breathing, and personal code evaluation. So if you're interested in doing that self-study, it's a 90-hour program. There's just some fabulous materials, some fabulous processing in it. Drop Jeannie, either if you've got my phone number, you can call me or text me, or drop Jeannie an email at jeannie@whyagain.org. jeannie@whyagain.org. And make sure to include your phone number and your name, and I'll get back to you. So, blessings. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.